Okay. Thank you. I get a little embarrassed with that kind of stuff, but let's get to Tachlis. Two sides to the sheet. One side starts with Mishanichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha, and as you could probably imagine, there is a dispute, and I don't know if this was covered. Speaking last on a program, you don't know what was said already, but there is a dispute among Rishonim as to whether Mishanichnas Adar Marbim Besimcha applies to both Adars or only the second. The argument in favor of it applying to both is the Mishnah, which we're going to look at. There's no difference between Adar HaRishon and Adar HaSheni except for Purim. So what's left? If you pull Purim out and you pull Shkalim and you pull Zachor and Para and HaChodesh out of the first Adar, what's left? And the answer is Simcha. So that opinion says because the Mishnah says there is no difference except for Purim, it means Mishanichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha applies to the first one as well. The other opinion says if you're pulling Purim out, that's the cause of the Simcha, and therefore it only applies to the second Adar. What does that mean for us? Not much, because you want to be happy during the first Adar, be my guest. There is no problem with that. And you want to make a party, make a party. The only thing left in Adar HaRishon is Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan, which are just dates on the calendar on which we don't say Tachanun and don't have eulogies at funerals. Okay. What you have next is the first paragraph of the Sefer HaChinuch on the mitzvah of making the Jewish calendar. And I want to start with that because I don't yet want to separate the issue of 2 months, of an extra month, with the issue of the months one after the other, which make up our calendar. So it's mitzvah kiddush hachodesh, lekadesh chodashim ula'aber shanim. The mitzvah is defined as sanctifying the months and, here's the fancy English word, intercalating the years. Intercalating means adding an extra month. Believe it or not, there's a word for it in English. In Hebrew, la'aber shana. Bevetin gadol bechochma samuch ba'aretz. Who is in charge of this? Not just anybody, but the Sanhedrin. Vilikboa moadei hashana al pi oto kiddush. The kiddush, the sanctification of the months, and the adding of the extra month are the basis of the sanctity of the entire calendar, which means if Rosh Chodesh Nisan is not sanctified, there's no Pesach. As weird as it would be, and the Rambam actually says someplace, Chas v'chalila, that it should never happen, but if the first of Nisan were not sanctified as Rosh Chodesh, then comes the 15th, you could eat chametz, it's not Yom Tov, it's not Pesach. Pesach exists because Rosh Chodesh Nisan was declared. Okay. Shene Emar, as it says in Parshat Bo, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. Klomar, Kishetiru Chidusha Shelevana. When you, meaning Bnei Yisrael, will be able to see the newness, the first visibility of the lunar crescent, tikbe'u lachem Rosh Chodesh. That's when you shall declare it's Rosh Chodesh. O afilu lo tir'uha. Or even if you don't see it, because it could be cloudy during the winter or something like that, mikevon shehi ru'uya leheira'ot al pi ha'cheshbon ha'mekubal. Now, this is something which is not essential to what we're going to talk about, the second Adar, the two Adars, but it's an important thing to know. In the olden times, and in Yirtz Hashem, when we have a Sanhedrin again, people make a mistake and they think that, they didn't know when the moon was going to reappear after a period of no moon. So they had to wait for people to say, I saw it, as if, oh, thank you, because I didn't know that it was going to be there. Wrong. The people throughout our history were well aware of the heavenly cycles. I would say that the average person 1,000 years ago was more aware than we are today. So they knew exactly. Not only that, the Rambam says that part of the requirement of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, Rosh Chodashim, is number one, that the months are determined by the cycle of the moon. Number two, that the years are adjusted so that Pesach is in the springtime. And number three, part of the mitzvah is the judges of Sanhedrin, who are on the committee to handle these things, are obligated to know mathematics and astronomy and be able, even without Googling it, to be able to calculate exactly when and where the moon will be visible so that they will be able to properly question witnesses who come to claim they saw the Levana b'chidusha. That's why I go one step further and say, even though it's not one of those three things that I just mentioned, it behooves us, pardon the word, I like to throw it in every so often, it behooves us to know how the calendar works, because the knowledge of the working of the calendar, even though officially it was the duty of Sanhedrin, filters down to us, because mitzvot in the Torah were not just given to Aharon and Moshe. In this particular case, the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon be'eretz Mitzrayim lemor. But if he was just talking to them, he wouldn't tell us about it. When he says, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, he's not just talking to Moshe and Aharon and the Sanhedrin, he's talking to every Jew. And therefore, we need to know these things. And if you're here, that's why you're here. V'chein tichlol mitzvah zu mitzvat ibur hashanah. Chinuch, Sefer Chinuch, follows the Rambam almost completely. And here he says exactly what the Rambam says. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh includes the business of the extra month. Lefi ha-yesod mitzvah Kiddush HaChodesh, kidei sheyasu Yisrael moadei Hashem b'moadam. Because the goal is the same. I mentioned Pesach. Pesach can't be observed in its proper date without the months and without the extra month every so often. Otherwise, you're off. So both of those are to create a calendar where the holidays are observed properly. Uchmochein mitzvat ibur hashanah mizeh hayesodi. It's from the same principle, and therefore the Rambam includes it. V'ulam milvad zeh hamikra, besides HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, there are other psukim, and he brings two of them. One is V'shamarta et hachukah hazot l'moada, you shall preserve this, meaning Korban Pesach, in its proper season. That's Ibur Hashanah. And also Shamor et Chodesh Ha'aviv, preserve the spring month and do the Korban Pesach. Okay, so that's the mitzvah. I want to add one more thing. The Rambam writes, do not be fooled into thinking that there are two mitzvot here out of 613. Because, why does he say that? Because there are psukim. First of all, there are two different things. In fact, in some time of Sanhedrin, they were done by different people. There was a committee for Kiddush HaChodesh. They were the ones who calculated when the moon would be visible and interviewed the witnesses and informed the Nasi when to announce and sanctify the month. And there was another committee, different guys, who were in charge of Ibur Hashanah, putting in the extra Adar. So there are different people who do it. There are different psukim in the Torah that command it. So the Rambam says, you might think that we're dealing with two mitzvot. So he says, don't be fooled into thinking that. There's only one mitzvah, and that's the Jewish calendar, and it has one purpose, so that we observe holidays when we're supposed to. And it happens to have two major components. Comes the Ramban, Nachmanides, and says, I guess I was fooled, because he holds we're dealing with two mitzvot. There's one mitzvah that the months follow the cycle of the moon's phases, and a different mitzvah, even if it has the same purpose, a different mitzvah to put in an extra month when necessary to keep Pesach in the springtime. So again, Machloket, Rambam, and Ramban. You should also know that the Ramban was 11 years old when the Rambam died, which means they really never argued. But we, in hindsight, look back at the opinion of Rambam and Ramban, and we say they differed in opinion. Rambam counts Jewish calendar as one mitzvah out of 613. Ramban counts it as two. If you ask, what difference does it make? On a practical level, no difference. The counting of mitzvot is a separate thing. It's a fascinating thing, it's an interesting thing, but it has no relevance to day-to-day practice. I always use as an analogy postal stamps. Stamps, remember stamps? Remember when you used to say, oh, you're going to the States, can you, you know, mail this when you get there, and you put a, you know, a stamp on there? I don't know. When's the last time anyone mailed a letter? Oh, pretty good. Okay. Anyway, postage stamps have two purposes, two functions. One is I need to send a letter, certified, return, receipt requested, overnight, whatever. How much is it? He tells me how much it is. I don't care what the stamps look like. Just put on enough postage and send it. But then there's another side to stamps, and that is the stamp collector's side. He is not using these stamps to send letters and packages, but he collects prime ministers of Israel and presidents of the United States and flowers and bugs and vegetables and fruits because they're pretty. That's the counting of mitzvot. Halacha, Shulchan Aruch, tells you what to do. The counting of mitzvot is a different kind of pursuit, just because we feel or should feel that mitzvot are beautiful, that the number Taryag is a special number, 613, and the fact that it's not just Rambam and Ramban that disagree, but there are a dozen different opinions as to how to count mitzvot. And if you're interested, you study it and you see, and then you choose who you like better. But if we had the Rambam and Ramban standing here now, and we gave each one 5 minutes to argue his case, at the end, we would take a vote. How many people think the Rambam's opinion is better? How many people think the Ramban is better? Wouldn't make a difference, because they both agree on the procedures. Next. And again, I don't know if this Mishnah was read to you, and we're in the middle of the page. This is Mishnayot, a Mishnah from Masechet Megillah, first chapter, fourth Mishnah. To me, it is, I'm going to warn you, like the warning on a package, warning that women especially are horrified by what this Mishnah suggests. Karu et HaMegillah ba'adar harishon. Let's say, in the time of Sanhedrin, where no announcement was yet made as to what the following month will be, so comes Purim, 14th of Adar, you celebrate it in Yerushalayim, the 15th of Adar. You do Mishloach Manot, you hear Megillah at night, you hear Megillah in the day, you do Matanot Lev Yonim, you prepare a Seuda, you invite people, and a week later, Vinit Abra Hashana, 1 week later, still in the end of Adar, the Sanhedrin announces that the coming month will be Adar, not Nisan. Korin Ota Ba'adar Hasheni. You have to read Megillah in the second Adar, meaning Purim again. You started cleaning for Pesach, put that on hold. Decide whether you're inviting the same people for your Seuda or you're inviting the other side of the family this time. but you're doing Mishloach Manot again, Megillah again, as if you didn't do anything yet. That's how it was, and that's how it's possible to be in the future when we have a Sanhedrin. So don't be too horrified by that, because hopefully we're going to come out with something nice from this. The Mishnah continues, Ein bein adar horishon la adar hasheni, ela kriyat hamagilah umatanot le'evyonim. It's not really enough to say that, but it means there is no difference between the first Adar and the second Adar, except for kriyat Megillah, matanot le'evyonim, mishloach manot, su'udat purim, al hanisim. What else? Yeah, parshat Shkolim, Parshat Zohar, Parshat Pora, Parshat HaChodesh, all move. So, Ein Bein, you're talking about, you know, these two people are very similar, let's say twins, and you say, there's no difference between them except this one has a little mole on his cheek, and the other doesn't. That would be an Ein Bein. There is no difference between A and B. But here, the difference is tremendous. But the fact that we have in our calendar, on our calendar, something called Purim Katan, 2 weeks from today, and Shushan Purim Katan, 2 weeks from tomorrow, which has minimal halachic impact. I mentioned earlier, you don't say Tachanun, you don't have eulogies at funerals, you're not allowed to fast, and that's about it. But what's it doing there? If the real Adar were the second one, then the first Adar could be called something else and it wouldn't have any mark on it. But the fact that it has Purim Katan and Shushan Purim Katan means that it's the real Adar, except that Purim needs to be a month before Pesach. All right? But that I'm sure you covered earlier. End of this page. This is the Ramban, Kiddush HaChodesh ve'Ibur HaShanah, Nimnot Kishtei Mitzvot. We already said that. According to the Ramban, you count them as separate mitzvot because they have separate psukim and they're different procedures. Any comments or questions before we continue on the other side of the sheet? Okay. At least I don't see anyone dozing. Yep. Okay, if you heard the question, we're talking about a Sanhedrin of the future, which could be soon, very soon, soonish, whatever, where there is technology available that they didn't have 1,500 years ago and earlier. But don't be fooled into thinking that they didn't have the knowledge. In other words, remember, because it's in our lifetime also, before computers and before smartphones and even before calculators. What did you do when you needed to add up a column of figures? You didn't go, duh, I wonder what this adds up to. You did it with arithmetic on a pencil and paper. Then when you had a calculator, it became technically easier to do. You could do longer additions without having to worry about making a mistake except punching the wrong button. But it didn't change the fact that we know how to add, multiply, subtract, and divide, and we always have known that. The heavenly bodies were known for their patterns. Interesting, the Rambam writes that the Sanhedrin would consult the experts of their time. Who were they? Astrologers. Even though astrology is a very problematic issue in Judaism, we're not talking about a reading of a horoscope, we're talking about using the expertise that the astrologers used in order to determine positions of the heavenly bodies. That's been known. Maybe. The astrologers, usually. But that's not the point. Google is not Jewish either. I mean, some of the founders are. But the fact, you know, when I joke, when I say you could Google it, it just makes it easier. There is now a Israel New Moon Society, of which I am a member, and their existence, their reason for existing, is to practice sighting of the first visibility of the moon, having first calculated where it should be, and to see how accurate the calculations are. Is it where it was supposed to be? But the bottom line, because I don't know if you were asking this, but it's an important point. Knowledge of where the moon and when the moon is not the preferred system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. If you remember what we read in the Sefer HaChinuch, it says, when you see the moon, and even if you don't see the moon, but you can calculate that it should have been seen. Okay, so let me tell you the story of one of my childhood stories. At a certain age, I used to help my father build the sukkah. At the beginning, it was holding the screws. And he would say, I need another screw, and I would help and hand it to him. As the years went by, we did more and more things, me and my brothers, and we helped. One year, the handful of screws that I was holding dropped and went through a crack in our porch and were gone. And my father had to go to the hardware store and replace them and came back. And I don't think, let's put it like this, if I wasn't there and if my brother wasn't there, he would have put up the sukkah in half the time than with our help. But you can't compare the feeling of a father for a child together, the bonding, when you are working on building the sukkah together. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Am Yisrael, I could do the sanctification of time by myself. Ki sheshet yamim asa Hashem et hashamayim v'et haaretz et hayom v'et kol hashabam v'yonach b'yom hashvi'i. Nobody helped him. He created the world. Vayonach bayom hashvi'i, he rested on the seventh day. Al kain, therefore, beirach Hashem et yom hashabbat, vayikadshehu. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Then he turns to Bnei Yisrael and says, you have to keep Shabbos. And these are the laws, and it's a serious thing, and this is the mitzvot aseh. And that's our obligation. But we did not create Shabbat. Shabbat is going to happen without our act, but we're supposed to bring it in. But not because it wouldn't be in if we didn't do it. We light candles, we say Kabbalat Shabbat, we welcome the Shabbat, we stop doing Melach, that's all fine. But it would be Shabbat no matter what we do or don't do. Then God turns to us and says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodeshim. Rishon Hu Lochem L'Chodshei Hashanah. This is yours. There's a medrash that says that the Malachim wanted to know when Rosh Hashanah was. So they asked God and he said, don't ask me, ask Bnei Yisrael because they're in charge. The Rambam halachically paskins that if a court makes a mistake and declares Rosh Chodesh clearly on the wrong day, God changes his calendar, so to speak, to match ours. Because even though he is much, much more efficient by himself, we were asked by him, commanded by him, to be his junior partners. So that when you require witnesses to show up to the Sanhedrin to testify that they saw the first visibility of the lunar crescent, kivyochol, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiles because he says, that's what I want. Now you run a few cloudy nights in a row, they're not going to see it. So Sanhedrin knows how to calculate, and they said, it should have been without the clouds, it would have been visible now. And they have the authority to declare Rosh Chodesh But again, kivyochol, it's as if Hashem frowns. He says, I know I put the clouds there, but they're not doing it the perfect way. And just get it out of your head that they didn't know what they were doing, therefore they waited for witnesses. They waited for witnesses because that's the way we, Am Yisrael, partner actively with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What we have today is a very neat, efficient computation. Anybody who has the patience and the rudimentary knowledge of math can sit down with the Rambam Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh of today and make a calendar. It's much easier to go to a store and buy a calendar at the beginning of the year. So most people don't do that. But if you wanted to, you can determine the announcement of the Molad without looking in a calendar. You can do it yourself mathematically, and it would be exactly right if you didn't make any mistakes. But all of that is not active participation. We became observers, to which I have another part of the same story. One year, my brother and I got into a fight while we were building the sukkah with my father, and he banished us from building the sukkah that year. You will not help me this year. Go to your rooms. And he continued. Now, my brother and I could have said, okay, I'll stay in my room, so I'll play games, I'll go out, ride my bike, whatever. Both of us, without coordinating, went to the window that overlooked the porch where my father was building the sukkah, and we watched him, and we cried. And he saw us, and he relented, and say, okay, make sure you behave yourselves, and we went back out, and we continued to help him. This, even though it's a personal story, is very much an analogy online here, because we have to know that the perfect calendar which we use today is second best to what God wants. And we have to be a little sad about it. In the Musaf of Chagim, how do we begin the words of Musaf? Umipnei chataenu galinu meyartzenu. Because of our sins, we were exiled. Ve'ein anachnu yecholim, and we can't do all of these things. So Rosh Chodesh can have a Rosh Chodesh party, and you could celebrate it, and we say Hallel, and we say Yalla V'Yavo, but a little part of us should realize that we're in a second best situation, and what we really, really would want is to return to the system with all of the technical help. And the one example I'll give you is notification. In the olden times, it was a very tedious process. Once the Nasi announced that it was Rosh Chodesh and sanctified the month, that everybody should find out. They had torch lights from hilltop to hilltop. That didn't work well because of the people who tried to sabotage it. So they went to bonded horsemen who traveled all over the country delivering the message of when Rosh Chodesh was, so we would know when Chagim are. That's the origin of Chutz La'aretz not having the knowledge. So they had 2 days Yom Tov, and that we will have no problem with. There will be live broadcast from the courtyard of the Sanhedrin on Har HaBayit, and we will actually be able to see from anywhere in the world if you have the right device, except for those who are internet and smartphones, so they won't know right away, exactly when the Nasi announces Rosh Chodesh. Okay, let's take a look at the second side and see how far we get. Rambam, Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh. The first is something that we've already covered, but it's the first halach in the first chapter. Chodshei Hashanahim, Chodshei Halavana, the months of our years are lunar months. Shene'emar, Olat Chodesh B'Chodsho, the sacrifice in the Beit HaMikdash, month by month. V'ne'emar ha'chodesh hazalachem rosh chodeshim. Kach amru chachamim. This is how our sages have said it. Hera lo ha'kodesh baruch hu l'moshe b'mar'eh ha'nevuah d'mut levana. God showed Moshe in a prophetic vision the form of the early crescent of the moon. The Amar lo kazeh re'eh v'kadesh. When you see it like this, that's when the process begins and the Sanhedrin sanctifies the month. And let me quickly explain something here. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided, so to speak, that our months go based on the cycle of the moon, and he chose what we call new moon, which is really no moon, which is when the moon is in between the earth and the sun and we can't see it. But that's the beginning of the cycle of phases. From there, it's crescent, bigger crescent, and then quarter moon, and then half full moon, and then diminishing until it comes back. So that's what God originally planned, so to speak. Moshe Rabbeinu said, I have a problem. I can't see the Levana at that instant. So how can we testify? So God said, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait the 20 hours or so till human able to see the first visibility of the crescent. At that point, it's already 20 to 24 hours after the exact moment of the beginning of the cycle, and God said, I'm changing the rules. That's when you come and you testify. Kazeh re'eh v'kadesh. V'hashanim, and years, shanu mechashvin, heim shnei hachama. Our years are solar years. Shene'emar, shamor et chodesh ha'aviv, preserve the month of spring and bring the Korban Pesach. Now the Rambam, which is not here, continues a mathematical presentation of what's the difference between 12 lunar months and a full year of the sun. It's about 11 days, and he goes on explaining how we make things fit. You should know that the general world, January, February, the term month is not very accurate. If months have 30 days or 31 days, that's longer than it takes the moon to go through its phases. The months called January, February, etc., were a convenient way of taking a full year and subdividing it, and they said, oh, it's approximately the time it takes the moon to go through its phases, let's call it a month. But it's not really a month by the definition of moon. The Muslim calendar has perfect lunar months. In fact, they still do testimony to the new moon to this day. They do it by telescope at an observatory, which we're not allowed to do, and we can't do it at all because we don't have a Sanhedrin, but even with a Sanhedrin, it has to be visible to the naked eye. And a telescope will show you the lunar crescent earlier than your naked eye will show. But that's a technical difference. What I find interesting is that there are two main observatories from the Muslim world. One is in Cairo and one is in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. And sometimes one sees it and the other doesn't. And neither will admit that the other one is the one that should be used, so different Muslims end up with a day off in a given month. In Lahavdil, our thing, we've got Ki Mitzion Teitzei Torah Udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. It doesn't matter who disagrees and who has a different way of calculating and showing it. It comes from one central location, which is Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. Now we're moving to chapter 4, Dalid Aleph, the first halacha. Shana mu'uberet, hi shana shemosifin ba chodesh. A shana mu'uberet, as we all know, is a month, is a year in which we add a month. Ve'ein mosifin le'olam ela adar, and the only month that we add is adar. Now that seems obvious, but let's see that it's not so obvious. let's say this year needed to be a Shana Me'uberet. Why not double Kislev? Why not double Shvat or Tevet or Mar Cheshvan? It would still have the same result. There'd be an extra month. But the Rambam says the month that you add is Adar, because the purpose of adding it is to delay Pesach. And if you do it with any other month, it won't be as obvious. V'osin otash shana shnei adarim adar rishon v'adar sheni. And that particular year that we're talking about has two adars. Umipnei ma mosifin chodesh zeh. Why do we add this month? Mipnei zman ha'aviv. Kidei sheyehe ha'pesach ba'oto zman. That Pesach should always be in the spring. Sheneemar shamor chodesh ha'aviv. Shehiyeh chodesh zeh bizman ha'aviv. That's the meaning of it. Vilulei hosefet chodesh hazeh. Without adding the month. Ha'pesach ba pe'amim bimot ha'chama ufa'amim bimot ha'gishamim. Then Pesach would sometimes fall out in the middle of the winter and sometimes in the summertime if you don't add. Again, Lahavdil, the Muslim calendar, which does not take into account the year of the sun, its holidays, or the month of fasting, Ramadan, floats through the calendar. You could remember one year, Ramadan was in July, and the following year it's in June, and then it goes earlier, because they don't have a Shana Me'uberet, and they're not linked to the sun's cycle. We are. We have a solar and lunar calendar together. Muslims, by the way, if they celebrate, if they count their age based on the regular calendar or the Muslim calendar, it can happen that a guy could be, say, how old are you? He says, I'm 34 in the January-February calendar, but I'm 35 in the Muslim calendar. We get only close to that by saying my Hebrew birthday is so-and-so, and 2 weeks later is my English birthday. But it always, you know, 1 year it'll be before because of that extra month. Next. Bet. Al shlosha simanim ma'abrim et hashana. Let me interject here because we're getting only 5 minutes left. What I said about the month applies to this also. The simplest thing would be 7 years out of a 19-year cycle need to have an extra month. Let's make a pattern. Oh, guess what? Pattern exists in a 19-year cycle. The third, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19 months, years are Shana Me'uberet. Finished. There's no thinking involved, but there's also no participation on our part. And that is the purpose of God turning over to us the task of sanctifying time. He did a good job with Shabbat. He did a good job with everything else also. But he wants us to be active participants. Halacha bet, on three simanim ma'abrim et hashana. Al ha'tekufa v'al ha'aviv v'al peirot ha'ilan. On the season, on the spring, and on the fruit of the tree. Ketzad, what do you mean? How so? Beitin mechashvin v'yodim im yehiye tekufat nisan b'shisha asar b'nisan o achar zman zeh ma'abrin et hashana. If they calculate that the beginning of spring, astronomic beginning of spring, it could feel like winter, it could feel like summer outside, doesn't matter. There's an astronomic time which is known as the vernal equinox, which is the official astronomy beginning of springtime. They calculate it, and they see it's going to fall out on the 16th of Nisan or later. Problem. It means Pesach is not in spring. It's in the winter. So they add it a month, and it pushes Pesach a month later, and now it's in the springtime. So the Rambam says, V'yasu oto Nisan Adar Sheni, they make the coming, what would have been Nisan, a second Adar, K'dei she'ei ha-Pesach b'zman ha-Aviv. V'al siman ze somchin u'ma'abrin v'ein choshishin le-siman acher. That's the first thing they do. They calculate whether Pesach will be in the springtime astronomically, and if it's not, it's a Shana Me'uberet, and they don't look at anything else. But if they see that by the calculation of astronomy, Pesach will still be in the springtime, but it's cold outside, it's rainy, it's still wintry, they have the authority to say Shana Me'uberet, because we have a situation with the Beit HaMikdash of Olim, Aliyah LeRegel, coming to Yerushalayim to observe Pesach, and they want it to be a nice, pleasant atmosphere. So that becomes a secondary thing that they calculate. And they get weather reports from all over the country and predictions, and that will happen in the next Sanhedrin. Yeah. Correct. Yes, it does. And it doesn't mean that we can't have snow either. But we're talking about the norm. The norm is, look, how long a winter is and how severe a winter is and how cold a winter is varies. It's not just the calendar. I'm sure you heard reports from Chicago last week of minus 40 degrees, which is an interesting trivia point because minus 40 is Celsius and Fahrenheit, the same temperature. Anyway, so the answer is they do the best they can. So they check on the growth of the fruit. Now, again, I'm cutting it short. They have other factors. First and foremost, vernal equinox. Secondary, does it feel like spring yet? And are the fruits starting to grow on the trees? Then there's another thing. If we have a Beit HaMikdash, then we need Korban Pesach. If we need Korban Pesach, we need a certain number of newborn lambs and goats so that there'll be enough for people to bring Korban Pesach. So they get reports from the flocks also that because of the conditions of the winter, they're not birthing as early as they usually do, so they will push the extra month. A whole bunch of other things. I want to finish with what I always smile at, and that's Yud Aleph. Ein Moshivin Le'ibur Hashana, you do not put on the committee to determine whether there's an extra month or not, Lo Melech Velo Kohen Gadol. It's members of Sanhedrin, but the king would have the authority to sit on that committee, and so would the Kohen Gadol. But you don't. Melech, why not? Mipnei Chelotav Umilchamotav Shema Dato Note Bishvilan La'aber or Shelo La'aber. Maybe the king is thinking of military strategy. He was planning on going to fight with a certain neighbor that was very hostile, and he decides it would be good if Pesach wouldn't get in the way, because then we don't have to send anybody back home. So he would decide, and that's the wrong reason to decide. So they didn't let the king be on the committee to decide. But look at the Kohen Gadol. Mipnei Hatzina. Kohen Gadol was not allowed to decide, be a part of the committee to decide whether there's an extra month because of the chill. Shema lo tehei dato no tel la'aber. Maybe he'll think like this. Comes Yom Kippur. Sometimes it's in September and sometimes it's in October. When it's in September, the weather is more pleasant. He goes to mikveh 5 times on Yom Kippur, outdoors, and he would rather go in September. And if he votes to put in an extra month, or they outvote him, he's going to end up not looking forward to toveling outdoors 5 times on Yom Kippur, when none of us can wash more than our fingertips. But he goes to mikveh 5 times and washes his hands and feet 10 times. And that is not a good reason to put in an extra month or hold back an extra month, so they don't let him be. When I read this the first time, I said, wait a minute. We're not talking about Stamagai. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol, the top of the spiritual pyramid of Jews. And I believe this halacha is saying the Kohen Gadol, just like the rest of us, is a human being. And he gets cold when it's cold, and it's uncomfortable here, and it's comfortable there. He's not above that. And I think it's a beautiful reminder that the Kohen Gadol is not a two-dimensional poster with his garments, but he's a human being that reached that position, except when the Greeks were playing around with it, but ideally reached that position because he was very worthy of that position, and he's a good follower of Aharon HaKohen, and it added that dimension. Bottom line, we have a system that works well, but we're not active participants. We have a system that we put on hold, because only a Sanhedrin can do it, past and future, which doesn't work as perfectly, but it is far more than what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us to be active participants. If you think of a birthday card that you received from a grandchild in kindergarten, where the writing is backwards and forwards and goes up and goes down, and the flower doesn't look like a flower, and the person, you say, that's me? And compare that with a Hallmark fancy card that you could buy saying, happy birthday, grandmother, with a beautiful poem and beautiful pictures, which do you appreciate more? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants our active participation. May we see it in our time.